Welcome to Men Alive, a biblical journey to help us become conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. I'm your host, Paul Estabrooks. Our teacher is my longtime friend, Dr. Jim Cunningham, consultant in adult education and director of Go Teach Global. Jim, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. What does that mean to a person listening to our broadcast today?
Thanks, Paul. An intriguing discussion among Christians relates to whether Jesus Christ is the head of the church or the source of the church.
Some may ask, head, source? What difference does it make?
The answer in one word is considerable. Source implies a place or a person from which information or evidence is obtained, a provider of goods or services. There is one verse in the Bible that refers to Jesus Christ as the source of our eternal salvation. Hebrews 5:7-9 says, "During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him." So it is correct to say that Jesus is the source of our salvation. But I cannot find scripture that says Jesus is the source of the church. I find many references that say Jesus is the head of the church. Ephesians 5:23 says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior." Colossians 1:18 says, "And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy." To imply that Jesus is the source of the church confuses the concept. It permits one to think, I am in control. He, Jesus, is there for me if I choose to go to him. I am here, he is there, and I go to a source as I need to on my terms. The concept of a head is quite different. The term head implies power, authority, position, and accountability, and a presence who is always there. My head controls the direction, movement, and position of my body. A head is recognized as the one in charge, as the leader, or the commander, or the captain. My body submits to my head with accountability for each action. There is no choice about whether my body will or will not submit to the head. Each part of the body moves under the direction of the head. So the church, using the symbolism of the body, needs a head. Spiritually speaking, Christ is preeminently the head. And for the day-to-day running of the church, there are spiritual leaders appointed. So why are there arguments over these apparent semantics in some churches today? The answer is clear. In order to change a movement from a forward direction to reverse, one must first put the vehicle in neutral. For some 2,000 years, the church, the body of Christ, has moved forward under the leadership of overseers and elders who fulfilled a distinctive list of character qualities found in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1. One distinctive qualification in the list could only be fulfilled by a man who was the husband of one wife. Enter the Age of Enlightenment. Those who believe authority and leadership in the church needs to be shared equally with women have to reinterpret some very powerful Bible passages. 1 Corinthians 11:3. Paul says, "I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." Some understand this passage to merely refer to the concept of honor. Christ honored God, man is to honor Christ, and the woman is to honor man. This interpretation is rather weak. If the head of Christ is God, then some very powerful responsibilities with accountability are assigned to Christian men. Perhaps some men, and I hope none of you listening fall into these categories, are reluctant or weak to obey Scripture, or too eager and too aggressive to be in control. So these men rewrite Scripture to make Jesus Christ some external source so that we can choose to go to if we want. Yet Paul writes in Ephesians 1:21-22, God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Jesus Christ is alive. He has all power by virtue of his person and position to make his presence felt at all times. Every knee will someday bow to Jesus Christ. Jesus is not some distant source that I take a pilgrimage to fulfill some religious obligation. He is in control as the head. I cannot make myself accountable to an impersonal source. God's authority and accountability resides in a relationship with a living spiritual being. That's why the marriage relationship so beautifully parallels the model of the church. Paul continues in Ephesians 5:22-23, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything."
This is a good time to remind you that you're listening to Men Alive with Dr. Jim Cunningham. We'll tell you at the end of the broadcast how you can contact Dr. Jim for more information. Jim, I've heard people say that since Adam, the first man, was the source of Eve, as she was taken from Adam, so the husband is the source of the wife, just as Christ was the source of the church.
Paul, we need to be clear. Jesus was and is the source, the only source of our salvation. But just as clearly, Jesus is the head of the church as the husband is the head of the wife. The meaning of source and head are quite distinct.
What would happen today if men treated their wives the way Christ loves the church and gave himself up for it? In fact, he died for the church.
A quick story. I was once in a church service where the accomplished pianist was a woman. I discovered later she had been abused by her father. She had a microphone beside the piano as she played and said, "Some of you may have had a difficult time growing up with your father, and as such, you may have a hard time thinking of God as a loving heavenly father. That's okay." She continued playing the piano. "Just think of God as a source of comfort." Then she added, "Think of God as a breast or a teddy bear." Whoa, I almost walked out of that church service. To be told, "Think of God as a teddy bear"? A stuffed teddy bear is an inanimate object. God is not an inanimate object. He is alive. God is all-powerful. He is omnipotent. He is all-knowing. He is omniscient. And he is always present. He is omnipresent. What would happen in the world today if Jesus Christ became the head of the church, the full controlling power that he is supposed to be? What would happen in the world today if husbands became the head of their wife and loved them, really, really loved them, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for the church. As Paul said, that literally means he died for the church. Consider the change this would bring to our marriages, our homes, our communities, and our attitudes to God himself. Making Jesus Christ the source of our salvation is biblical, and Christ is definitely the head of the church. But calling Christ the source of the church is a vain attempt by some to reword Scripture to satisfy itching ears that want to hear. And why did we do it? Some women perhaps secretly hope they can rewrite Scripture so they become the head of the husband, or become the elderesses of the church, as the wife of one husband.
So how do we understand Paul's words in Galatians 3:28 when he says, "There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Does this suggest that we are all equal in Christ and free to fulfill any role in the church?
Once again, this goes back to our understanding of source and head for salvation. We are all one in Christ. He is, as Hebrews says, the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Male and female, same source, same salvation, free by the grace of God, Ephesians 2:8-9. But leadership roles are pre-assigned by God himself. I'm sorry, ladies, God made husbands the head of the wife, not me. So if someone does not like what the Bible commands, they have to argue with God, not me. That was not a teaching that I created. God also said elders or overseers were to be the husband of one wife. Although never what I would call a flaming feminist, my wife Rita did have her moments. Once when a friend told her of a decision made by elders that she felt was less than wise, Rita warmly said, "I don't mind elders being husband of one wife, as Scripture says. I just wish they'd listen to that one wife a little more often."
Good insight from Rita.
I agree. Christ, the head of the church, loved his church so much he was willing to die for her. We who are husbands are asked to love our wife so much we are willing not only to die for her, but to live with her.
There you have it, men and husbands. Love your wives as Christ loved the church. For a printed copy or a PDF of this program's teaching, contact Dr. Jim by sending your email to menaliveuntogod@gmail.com. Men Alive is a production of Go Teach Global. Until next time, I'm your host, Paul Estabrooks, on behalf of Dr. Jim Cunningham, encouraging you to be men alive, conform to the image of Jesus Christ.